Beverly nods to him as he steps back to allow a small procession of mourners to file around her grandmother's coffin. One drops a single red camellia, some a handful of dirt, onto the lid. Picard and Deanna are the only Enterprise crew members present. Beverly turns sharply toward a tall blonde man dressed in a dark overcoat who turns back to her for a moment before continuing on his way. She is clearly shaken. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek: The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Sub Rosa, voiced by Glenn MacCready. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Federation starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Commander Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushed the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines of the Enterprise power up, explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. Deanna and Beverly are by the graveside as the gravediggers start work.
That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Deanna, did you notice a strange man at the service? He was in his mid-30s with longish hair.
No.
He threw a flower on Nana's grave. A camellia. It was her favorite flower. She used to keep them all over the house.
Maybe he was a friend or one of her patients.
It was a very personal gesture. And he gave me a remarkable look. Well, I guess I should be going back to the house. There's some things I need to do. It's only a few minutes from here. Would you mind coming along?
I'd love to.
Thanks.
Picard talks to the man who conducted the service.
How long do you plan on staying?
A few more hours. Why?
Well, as you know, Kaldos is one of the first terraforming projects of the Federation. Our weather controls and fusion systems are nearly a century old. I wouldn't mind having a starship engineer take a look at them. Perhaps give us a few upgrades. Maybe in exchange for a tour of the colony and a home-cooked meal.
Well, we are due at Starbase 621 tomorrow morning, but we could delay for a few days. Yes, I'm sure we could find the time.
Excellent.
I would enjoy that tour. Kaldos Colony is a most impressive accomplishment. I actually feel as if I'm in the Scottish Highlands.
Well, that was the intent. The cornerstone of every building in town was brought from Edinburgh, Glasgow, Aberdeen. The founders wanted everyone to feel that they had a piece of the real thing here. They didn't want to just imitate Scotland. They wanted to recreate it.
Tell me, Governor, I'm curious. You're obviously not Scots yourself. What was it that drew you here?
Something about the culture, the heritage. When I was a boy, my family visited Glam's Castle in Scotland. And as I looked out across the Highlands, I felt as if I had come home.
Beverly and Deanna enter the beautiful rustic cottage her grandmother lived in. Deanna wanders past an oil lamp, carved mirror, knick-knack drawers on a wall, writing desk and a window with herbs and flowers hung in it, through which the sunlight now streams. Beverly tends the fire while Deanna picks up a framed photograph of Beverly and her grandmother.
Your grandmother had remarkable green eyes.
Every Howard woman has had green eyes, except for my mother and me.
How well do you remember your mother?
Very well. I loved her very much. I can remember her face smiling down at me, and I can remember the sound of her voice and her scent. But mostly I remember Nana, who raised me after my mother died.
That's beautiful.
It's a family heirloom. It's been in the Howard clan for generations. It's supposed to symbolize the enduring Howard spirit, wherever they may go. The shining light to guide them through their fortune. Nana always kept it lit. I remember sitting here, listening to ghost stories with only the candle burning.
You should take it with you.
I think I will. I'm going to head back to the ship. You don't have to leave. I just thought you'd like some time alone. I'll see you later. Thanks.
Deanna places the simple metal candle lamp on a table before she goes. Beverly is in an armchair, and as she sits back, she notices her Nana's shawl on the back of the chair and pulls it over one arm. She picks up a book, smiles when she notices her Nana's spectacles, and examines some more books before finally finding her grandmother's beautifully handwritten journal. She turns some pages, wraps herself in the shawl, and takes the book upstairs. A scowling man enters the house, takes up the lamp, and blows out its candle.
Who's there? What the hell are you doing? Get out of my house.
And will it be so high and mighty with me, Beverly Howard Crusher? I've spent more time here in the past 5 years than ye have in the past 20.
How do you know who I am?
I'm Ned Quint. I took care of your grandmother's house and her affairs.
Nana never mentioned you.
Oh, there's lots of things she didn't talk about. Let me get rid of that candle.
Why?
That candle has brought nothing but misery and bad luck to your grandmother.
Look, Mr. Quint, I don't know what your relationship was with my grandmother, but this is my house now, and these are my things.
That candle has been a curse on your family for generations. Now, if you have a lick of sense, you'll listen to me right now and do away with it. Now, give it to me.
This is a family heirloom, and I intend to keep it. Now, would you please get out of my house? Now!
Howard women, always the same stubborn fools.
She tries to slam the door, but he punches it open.
I wash my hands of it now. You stay on in this house, and you keep that damn candle. I'll not be responsible for what happens.
Get out!
The governor is with Data in engineering.
The colony's aqueduct system is functioning normally, as are the communication relays.
We've been having a few tremors the last couple of months. Could you check the seismic stabilizers?
Certainly.
You can't imagine what it's like trying to enjoy afternoon tea while the earth is shaking.
Governor, did you know you had a power fluctuation in your weather control system?
No. Our weather control's been working perfectly for the last 22 years.
Well, I can't isolate the exact source, but the fluctuation seems to be originating from one of the substations that regulates atmospheric humidity for the colony.
Is this going to be a problem?
No, not yet, but power distribution patterns are already off by 5%.
I suggest we analyze the planet's weather patterns to see if they have been affected. I am reading unusually high humidity across the entire southern desert region, and there is increasing cloud activity above the northern coastal area, possibly the formation of a storm system.
A storm? It's the middle of summer. We don't have rain at this time of year.
Data, let's see if we can correct this. I'll check out the colony's climatic flow array.
I will run a diagnostic on the thermal regulators.
Don't worry, Governor. We'll keep you dry.
I certainly hope so. There's a caber toss scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. I'd hate to see it spoiled by an unexpected downpour.
You wouldn't believe what I've been reading about in my grandmother's journals. You know she had a lover? Do you believe that? Nana was 100 years old.
would seem that the Howard women have exceptionally vigorous libidos.
I certainly hope so. After all, I hope I can find a handsome young man in his 30s when I pass the century mark.
30s?
Yes. According to these journals, his name is Ronan and he's 34 years old. They met just after my great-grandmother's death. And I think I saw him at the funeral. A handsome young man tossed a camellia onto her grave. But the strange thing is, she never mentioned him in her letters, never once. And yet it appears they spent almost all their time together. It's as if she led an entire life that I knew nothing about.
Well, it looks as if we're going to be on Caldos for a few days more. This will be a good opportunity for you to get your grandmother's affairs in order.
Thank you.
That is.
Beverly falls asleep while reading the journal in bed. The candle lamp sputters a light briefly, and her bedclothes are pulled lower by an invisible hand, which then tugs at the shoulder of her nightdress.
Beverly.
She awakes with a start and clutches at her neck and shoulders.
You dreamt you were in bed with someone?
Not exactly. I was in bed. But there wasn't another person in my dream. It was more like a presence.
You said you felt a touch.
A pair of hands. They were moving across my skin.
Like a caress?
Yes. And there was a voice, a man. He whispered my name. It was as if I knew him. Or more like he knew me. He knew exactly how I liked to be touched. It was the most physical dream I've ever had. The sensations were very real and extremely arousing.
Frankly, I'm envious.
I did fall asleep reading a particularly erotic chapter in my grandmother's journal. She wrote very detailed descriptions of her experiences with Ronan.
Well, that's bound to cause a dream or two. So, shall we start going over the personnel reports?
You know, I think he had a ring on one of his hands when he touched my shoulder. My neck. I wonder if I'll have another dream tonight.
I'd read two chapters.
Beverly brings some flowers to the misty and windswept graveside, which is being tended by Ned Quint.
Probably want to be alone. I'll leave.
No, Ned, it's okay. Look, I'm sorry we got off to a bad start yesterday. I've been reading my grandmother's journals, and I know how much you meant to her.
Aye, she was a grand lady. You'll not see many more like her. You have your grandmother's fire, that's for sure.
Ned, you're welcome to stay at the house after I've gone. I need someone to take care of the place.
Well, that's very kind of you, lass. But I'll never set foot in that house again. And I recommend that you dinner either.
Why?
Like I tried to tell your grandmother. The house is haunted.
Haunted?
You believe what you want, lass. Just dinner light that candle.
Why not?
It'll bring the ghost. It's his home. Oh, he's out now. Wandering across the land. Angry. Angry I've been driven out. That's why he's bringing the storms.
Ned. The weather system's control is malfunctioning. The Enterprise is trying to repair it.
Oh, sure. But who do you think is causing the malfunction?
Oh, I think your imagination is...
Think what you want. See what you want. Just do as I say. Dinner light that candle, and dinner go to that house. Or before you know it, I'll be burying another Howard in this cemetery.
She thinks about stopping him, but he's gone. She seems to be remembering the caresses she'd felt in her sleep the previous night, and can't help linking them with this tale of a ghost. The green lightning plays with increasing violence around her. She clutches her shawl and flees the graveyard.
Captain, I'm detecting atmospheric turbulence over the colony and large pockets of electrical activity. On screen. It is growing in intensity, sir.
That's one hell of a thunderstorm.
Bridge to engineering. Mr. Data, we're reading an extremely large storm system over the Kaldos colony. I thought that the weather control malfunction was not severe.
It began as a minor power fluctuation, sir, but the effect has spread throughout the control grid. It has caused an unusual concentration of cumulonimbus activity above the colony.
Captain, I suggest we set up a power transfer between the Enterprise and the weather substations. Try to give them enough power to stabilize the storm.
Make it so.
Beverly comes out of the torrential rain into her grandmother's house. Her eyes widen in disbelief. Everywhere, every surface, every wall is covered with flowers. The door slams behind her.
Who's there? Ned? Is that you? Hello? I know somebody's here, so I suggest you...
The mirror shakes on the wall and her terrified reflection lurches wildly. She unhooks it from the wall and checks behind the glass. Nothing. When she puts it back, a man's reflection is behind her own. When she turns around, no one's there.
All right, now, that's it. If you don't show yourself right now, I am calling the Enterprise and there will be 10 security guards here within 30 seconds.
Beverly. Beverly, I've come back for you.
Who are you?
Don't you remember? I came to you last night while you were asleep.
No, that was a dream. I'm calling the Enterprise.
Her shawl is ripped away and her hand pulled by an invisible force. She drops her communicator but doesn't seem afraid.
Now do you remember me?
Yes. What's happening to me? Right now I feel so strange.
I love you, Beverly. Just as I loved Felisa before you.
She notices a flower in her hand.
Are you Ronan?
Yes. You saw me at the funeral.
She smiles in spite of herself as she is suddenly caressed again.
Who are you?
She staggers to the bottom of the stairs.
I am a spirit.
I don't believe in...
ghosts. Nor did I in the beginning. I was born in 1647 in Glasgow on Earth.
You're telling me that you're an 800-year-old ghost?
I found a home with Jess O'Howard. She was a pretty lass with a mane of red hair and eyes like diamonds. I loved her very much. When she died, I stayed with her daughter. And her daughter, and on down through the years, generation after generation.
She had been drawn up the stairs by his voice, but now breaks away toward the window.
And now you're here on Kaldos, 200 light years away?
When your family moved out into the galaxy, I moved with them.
I don't believe you.
I believe. You are the most beautiful woman I have ever known.
Oh, what's happening to me?
We're becoming one, Beverly. We're going to be together.
I don't understand. Stop it!
High above Kaldos, the Enterprise fires an orange beam into the heart of the Tempest.
Come in.
Hi, Bev. I just wanted to see if you were going to Mockborough class this morning. No, I think I'm going to skip it today. I'm exhausted. Did you have another dream last night? Not exactly. Is anything wrong? Not at all. Beverly, if I didn't know any better, I'd say you were seeing someone. Deanna. Now I know you're seeing someone. I'm not seeing anybody. I met someone, that's all. Well, you obviously have romantic feelings for him. Beverly, when are you going to realize that you can't fool me? Who is it?
All right.
I met Ronan. Ronan? Your grandmother's lover?
Beverly tenderly holds a flower and nods.
He's unlike anyone I've ever met before. I know this sounds crazy, but I have never known anyone who is so
passionate.
Exactly. I can see why Nana fell in love with him. This sounds very strange, doesn't it?
I admit it's unusual. I'm very happy for you. But I want you to consider something. You and Ronan have both suffered a tremendous loss. Very often, shared traumatic experience can create the illusion of closeness and romance.
Well, thank you for your concern, but I think I know what I'm doing. Besides, I didn't say I was in love with him. I'm just intrigued.
Deanna is skeptical and leaves. Beverly smiles a secret, wistful smile.
You know, Captain, I moved to this colony because it was a recreation of Scotland, but I must admit it's getting to be a little too realistic. Shoo!
They enter a bridge knee-deep in fog.
What the hell is going on?
There appears to be a condensed suspension of water vapor, approximately 1 degree Celsius.
Fog?
It just sort of rolled in on us, sir.
There has been a malfunction in the ship's environmental control.
We've traced the problem to the power transfer beam. There's some sort of feedback coming from one of the colony's weather substations.
Another power fluctuation?
Captain, the temperature in Tin Fort has dropped below freezing, and Deck 13 has lost gravity.
Mr. Data, disengage the power transfer.
I am unable to terminate the connection, sir. A feedback loop is formed in the transfer beam. I will have to go to the substation and attempt to correct the problem from there.
Make it so. In the meantime, I think I'll go get my jacket.
The Enterprise continues to train its beam on the swirling storm below.
I have analyzed the control module in the primary weather control grid. It appears the station is experiencing a system-wide power failure.
This is impossible. The backup system should have...
Excuse me, sir. You were dismantling the primary power conduit. I must ask you to stop.
No! Get away from me!
You didn't understand. He's trying to kill us all.
A green spark blows Quint backwards and down some stairs. Data rushes to check for a pulse.
He's dead.
From what I can tell, he was trying to shut down the entire weather control system. He was pulling out the primary plasma conduit. It's probably what caused the plasma discharge that killed him.
I knew Ned Quinty was an honest man. He kept mostly to himself. I don't know why he'd try something like that.
Well, it's gonna take us some time to get the system back online. I'd say we need another day at least.
In the meantime, Governor, you should expect the weather problems to continue.
I think you better take a look at this.
They move across to Beverly, who's with Quint's body.
Data, you said there was a plasma discharge from the console when Quint was killed.
That is correct.
Well, that wasn't what killed him. I'm detecting an anomalous energy residual throughout his body, right down to the cellular level. Whatever it is, it wasn't the result of a plasma discharge.
Anything? I cannot identify the energy residual. However, it appears to have the same anaphasic signature as the power fluctuations we observed from the weather control system.
And it's possible that whatever caused the weather malfunctions also killed Quint.
It is possible.
We should scan the colony for any energy readings that match this anaphasic signature.
Governor, with your permission,
I'd like to take the body back to the ship to run further tests.
Of course, Doctor.
Ensign, ask Dr. Salar to run a biospectral analysis.
Yes, Doctor.
You're not going to run the test yourself?
No, I have some things I need to attend to.
She heads back to her grandmother's house.
Ronan, I've got to talk to you. Are you here?
I'm here. Beverly, did you miss me?
Yes. But I must talk to you. There's been an accident.
I know. Quint is dead.
Why did it happen? What was he doing?
Beverly, there's something more important we should talk about.
Ronan, I've got to know. Quint's dead.
He materializes behind her and holds her face in his hand.
Yes. I need you to help me.
Help you?
It's not easy for me to take corporeal form. I can't do it for long. I want you to light the candle.
Quint said you lived in the candle. Is that true?
Yes. If I'm away from it for too long, I begin to weaken. That's why the women in your family have always kept the candle lit.
The candle's on the ship. I'll go get it.
No. I must go with you.
How?
The power transfer beam. I can travel along it.
Then when the candle's lit, then what happens?
Then we'll be together. Always.
They kiss. He regards her sadly, and then he turns to smoke, which melts into the air. Beverly smiles and then almost bursts into tears, but seems to know what she must do as she leaves for the Enterprise, which still trains its particle beam on the storm.
Computer, secure door.
Frantically, she lights the candle and can barely contain herself as she waits.
I lit the candle. Where are you?
Suddenly, he's behind her. As they stand face to face, Ronan becomes a green glowing mist, which moves through her and pushes her back onto the bed before passing into her completely. Later, she is placing her belongings on a transporter platform when Picard finds her. He holds a data recorder.
Beverly, what the hell is this?
I thought it was pretty self-explanatory. I'm leaving Starfleet. Energize.
Belay that order.
Aye, sir.
Beverly, you can't just resign.
I can, and I have. I've decided to stay on Caldos and become a healer like my grandmother. It's a proud Howard tradition, and I've decided to uphold it. Energize. I've resigned my commission, so unless you plan on kidnapping me...
Picard reluctantly nods to the transporter technician. Deanna joins him later in his ready room.
Beverly was attracted to Ronan in a very intense and intimate way. I warned her that it was all very sudden, but she didn't want to talk about it, so I let her alone.
I sensed that she was holding something back, that she wasn't telling me the whole truth.
Do you think this Ronin could be exerting some sort of influence over her? That it's because of him that she's staying?
It's possible. But she may really believe she's in love with him.
This is a rash decision, ill-considered. It's not like Beverly at all.
I agree. But she does have the right to make that choice, even if we don't feel it's a good one.
Come.
Captain.
Geordi and I have detected an energy residual with the same anaphasic signature as the one we found on Ned Quint's body.
Where?
Approximately 17 kilometers from the center of the colony, sir. It is coming from the cemetery.
Data, I want you to go down to the cemetery. See if you can pinpoint the source.
Aye, sir.
In the meantime, I would like to meet with this Ronin.
Data and LaForge explore the cemetery by torchlight.
The energy readings are coming from this direction, but I can't get an exact location. I'll try narrowing the scan field.
The energy readings appear to be originating approximately 2 meters below the surface. I believe they are concentrated within this burial site.
It's Felisa Howard's grave. In her grandmother's house, Beverly's hand plays over the candle lamp as Ronan sits before her.
I'm so glad you're here. I can't imagine what life was like before I met you.
And it will only get better.
Again, he becomes the mist. Again, he moves through her.
Oh, Ronan. I had no idea I could feel this way.
We're nearly merged now. As two candles join to form a single light, so we will flourish as one. I love you, Beverly.
I love you.
Picard enters and notices her convulsed in an armchair.
Beverly?
Jean-Luc.
Sorry I startled you. I knocked, but there was no answer. The door was open. I hope you don't mind.
What do you want?
Well, I'd hoped to meet your new friend, Ronan.
He's not here.
Well, perhaps I could wait if you don't mind. I'm really anxious to meet this remarkable young man who has swept away not just one, but two of the Howard women.
Jealousy doesn't suit you, Jean-Luc.
Have you changed the color of your eyes?
I just grew tired of the other color. Don't you think it suits me?
I think that I preferred your eyes the way they were before. I think I preferred you the way you were before, Beverly.
Well, this is the way I am now. And this is my life. I've made my decision, and I'm not going to change my mind, so please leave me alone!
Oh, no, there's something wrong here. Now, Beverly, this is more than just an obsessive love affair that has got out of hand. Tell me, why is it that no one has seen this Ronin except you?
All right, Captain. Here I am.
He comes downstairs, and Beverly smiles and joins him.
I believe Beverly asked you to leave her alone.
So, you're Ronin. It's a pleasure to meet you. Where are you from?
Earth, Scotland.
How long have you been on Kaldos?
All that matters is that I'm here now, and that Beverly and I plan to be together for the rest of our lives.
Data to Picard.
Go ahead, Data.
Captain, we have located the source of the energy residual. It appears to be concentrated within Felisa Howard's coffin.
Captain, we'd like permission to exhume the body.
You can't do that. Leave her alone.
Why not? What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything. But I cannot allow you to desecrate her grave.
Data, ask Governor Maturin's permission to exhume the body.
Picard out.
I won't stand for this. I'll go to the governor myself.
Go on. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't know who you are. He'll probably have the same questions that I do. How did you get here? What ship did you come on?
Jean-Luc, leave him alone.
Why don't you answer my questions? What ship? I'd like to take a look at the passenger list. Where have you been living here? What's your position? Who are your neighbors?
He evaporates.
Come on, Beverly, we've got to get out of here.
When Picard reached for her, his body was engulfed in a mass of green sparks and he now lies still on the floor. Beverly reaches for her doctor's bag after checking his pulse.
Beverly, we must stop the others. They cannot exhume the body.
We can't just leave him. He might die.
You must come. I am your love. I am the one who will take care of you.
I can't just let him die.
Beverly, come with me.
No. No!
I'm sorry. I'm going to stop them.
She is torn and in tears as she treats Picard.
Cemetery.
Takes the lamp and runs after him.
The Forge Enterprise. We're ready down here.
Aye, sir.
The coffin is beamed above ground. They remove the lid to reveal its occupant with a blissful expression on her face.
I am reading definite signs of anaphasic energy in her body. It appears to extend to the cellular level.
That's impossible. She was nowhere near the weather station when Quint was killed. She died of natural causes.
I suggest we run a deep tissue scan to look for any signs of...
Her eyes snap open. She sits up and green sparks leap from her arms, knocking Data and LaForge to the ground.
Ronan, stop this. Stop this, please.
Beverly, it's all right. Have trust in me.
You're not Nana. Nana's dead. Leave her alone!
Ronan's spirit leaves her body.
Beverly! Forgive me. These men were trying to stop us from being together. Once they're gone, everything will be right.
No, it won't. You've been infusing me with the same sort of anaphasic energy that killed Quint.
He was trying to destroy me. I had to defend myself. My love. I would never harm you. I am here to protect you.
No, you're not. There's no such thing as a ghost. You are some sort of anaphasic life form. Anaphasic energy is extremely unstable. It needs an organic host in order to maintain molecular cohesion, or else you'll die, isn't that right?
Beverly.
I also scanned the candle. The flame is plasma-based. You were using it as a receptacle for yourself in order to get to me, in order to merge with me. You have been using me, Nana, my entire family, for centuries!
And I loved all of them! And they loved me! Give me the candle, Beverly.
No, no!
Sparks course over LaForge.
Put it down, or I will kill him. Set it down and walk away.
She does as she's told. Quickly, she takes LaForge's phaser and hits the lamp.
Crusher to Riker. Will, close off all the plasma conduits in the weather control systems. I'll explain later.
Understood.
You've nowhere left to go.
Yes. I do.
Keep away from me.
I love you. Beverly!
leaps for her. She hits him a final fatal time and he is gone.
Captain's log supplemental. Commander LaForge and Mr. Data have recovered from their exposure to the anaphasic energy, but I'm afraid Dr. Crusher's recovery will be of a more personal nature.
Somehow, he realized that one of my ancestors had a biochemistry that was compatible with his energy matrix.
Beverly and Deanna sit down at a table in 10 Forward.
I imagine that he took on human form and seduced her like he did me. I was about to be initiated into a very unusual relationship. You might call it a family tradition. But there's a part of me that's a little sad.
How so?
I reread the entries in my grandmother's journals. Whatever else he might have done, he made her very happy.
She gazes sadly out of the panoramic windows as the Enterprise powers away from Kaldos. The end.